help sponsor someone to camp. And those that bought and had their card, bought baked goods and had their cars washed, what a great blessing it was. You can see the rewards of what you reaped for our children. Both the young people and the teenagers have gone to Bible camp this year. And let me just say this, it was, Pastor James touched on it. It was wonderful to have a couple there with us, and really Bill and Sandy came just as visitors to the camp, and they didn't stay on camp, although they could have. They stayed off camp, but came in every morning after breakfast. About the time the morning service was, they showed up. Actually, about the time we got done eating, they showed up, and they picked up brooms and mops, and they swept the floor after every meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And what a great blessing that was. See, typically, the pastors that work the kitchen oftentimes go out as much as we can or desire to do so and do that sweeping. Usually about Wednesday, it's so grody looking, and we say, come on, we got to go sweep. But thank God we didn't have to do it this year, amen. And what a wonderful blessing it was. I do want to read a letter that came from Riley. She wrote a letter to the church. I want to read to you. It says, Dear Sharon Baptist Church, I want to thank you for sponsoring me to attend summer camp this year. This year at camp is one I will never forget. I am truly grateful for the love you show me and for investing in my spiritual journey. Thank you for believing in me and for giving me this opportunity. Riley, amen. And that sentiment, no doubt, the same other children who were sponsored to go to Bible camp as well. If you have your Bible with you this evening, or take the one in the pew rack in front of you and turn to the book of 2 Timothy tonight. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I'm going to bring you a message that I, as the disclaimer, that I preached at Bible camp the first night that we showed up for junior camp. And I entitled the message, Are You Ready to Enlist? Are You Ready to Enlist? I wonder if, brother, if you could throw my favorite clock up on the back wall for me, please. I'd appreciate that so very much. I do want to make a mea culpa and apologize to you. I was planning on having a quiz time here, some adults against some of the camp children, but truthfully, I spaced it off. I'm just telling you, I'm going to be 63. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. My wife thinks it's from all the Splenda that I drink in my coffee every day that has gone to my brain. I don't know what it is, but coming sometime very soon, we're going to have that time where we have some adults against some of the young people, and we're going to have a quiz time. We're going to ask you some questions, probably on maybe like the Sunday evening services, books of the Bible, different things like that. And we're going to see how you do in a quiz time, amen. Pastor James is going to keep score just like he does, and we'll see who the winner is for this time. It's a very, very wonderful time, so praise the Lord for that. Well, if you found your place, let's stand for a few moments this evening as we begin reading in 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll read verses 1 through verse number 7, and we'll hone in particularly on verse number 3 this evening as we think on this thought, Are you ready to enlist? The Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for the mastery, yet if he not crowned, except he strive lawfully, the husbandman, the laboreth, must be first partakers of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. I like verse number 8, Pastor Grandinetti, verse 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. And I pray he does give you understanding this evening. As we think on this thought, are you ready to enlist? Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning, this evening, Father. And I do thank you, Father, for the 2 weeks in July that we had at Pleasure Island Bible Camp. Oh, Father, a lot of hard work has gone on from a lot of people to make that happen, Father. A lot of giving has taken place to allow some people that ordinarily would not be able to go to camp, Father, without these people's giving, Father. And we thank you for their giving. Father, would you bless them, Father? I pray, Father, this message is preached, that it will find a place in the hearts and minds of your people that are here. And Father, may they ask themselves this question, am I ready to enlist? And so, Father, we pray and ask these things. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Notice particularly in verse number 3, as you're being seated this evening, the Bible says that therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There was a man coming to church one day, and the pastor was standing at the door, as he always was, to shake hands with the worshipers. And as he shook the man's hand, as he getting ready to leave the door, the pastor pulled him aside, and he said this, "You really need to join the Lord's army." The man looked at the pastor eyeball to eyeball, and he said, "I'm already in the army of the Lord, Pastor." So then the pastor asked him this, "Then why don't I only see you on Christmas and Easter?" The man whispered back, "I'm in the Secret Service, amen. I pray that you're not in the Lord's Secret Service." I don't think the Lord has a Secret Service, by the way. I think all of us are in the Lord's army, and it's a visible army marching forward. Our theme verse for Pledge Out in Bible Camp was Isaiah 6:8, as Pastor Jonathan said, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me." Henceforth, our theme in this message, am I ready to enlist? But before we could be sent anywhere, you're going to have to enlist. In fact, our camp motto was this, "I've enlisted, have you?" And that's what we consistently asking each other during the junior week and teen week. We said, "I've enlisted, have you?" We told our young people when they leave Bible camp to go to their friends, particularly as school has started for most kids, to ask this question, "I've enlisted in the Lord's army, have you enlisted?" So tonight, at the end of the message, I'm going to ask you to join the Lord's army and enlist in the Lord's army if you have not already done so. I want you to notice, first of all, this evening, if you're taking notes, if you're going to enlist in the Lord's army, there's a choice to make. A choice to make. You know, all of us have choices to make in life. And the older you get, the more choices you have to make. And guess what? As young people that are here today, the older you get, the more choices your parents will allow you to make. I can think back on my day that there was one day in my life that I realized that I had to make a choice. I had to decide what I'm going to do with my life. And my parents really were great parents, and they gave me a couple of choices in life. They simply said this, I had to choose between going to college somewhere, I could choose to go to a trade school, I could choose to get a full-time job somewhere, or I could join the United States military. And listen, I was just glad to get out of school, amen. I didn't want to go to college and trade school. You know me, what am I going to do? Mechanics? If you know me, that's not on the case. If I'm going to go to construction school, they're like, oh no, I would have flunked out of that. And electric school, electronics school, I could get a full-time job. And I thought, well, what's a 17-year-old boy going to do for a full-time job? I'm going to bag groceries at Kroger's? I don't know. Maybe I could have done that. But I decided simply to do this, that I'm going to do the best thing that I can do, whatever I want to do. And I decided to join the United States military. And I chose to enlist in the United States Air Force. And outside of my decision to receive Jesus Christ and my marriage to my beautiful wife, Diana, it was one of the best decisions that I ever made in my life. It was there that I learned how to be a man. I learned how to take orders. I learned how to give orders. I learned how to be obedient to those that were appointed above me. So we all have choices to make in life. But then notice something else. There's a choice you have to make for life. A choice you have to make for life. One choice you have to make is whether or not you're going to enlist in God's army. Take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7. Again, I'm going to remind you that to keep your Bibles out, we'll be turning to different passages of Scripture. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and verse number 14. Matthew should be pretty easy to find. Just look for the middle of your Bible and find where Matthew is. And then there it is, chapter number 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verses 13 and verse number 14. We find that you have to choose whether or not you're going to enlist in God's army. The Bible said in Matthew 7 and verses 13 and verse number 14, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. For many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So the choice that you're going to have to make really is to enlist in God's army is a choice between heaven that God has prepared for those that put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and those who reject Christ as their Savior, and that he has prepared a place called hell for the devil and his angels and all those Christ rejectors. It's eternal life with Christ, or it's eternal damnation in a place called hell. There's no other options. It's one or the other. And Jesus said this of himself in John 14 and verse 6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So what is your choice going to be tonight? Are you going to enlist in God's army? Are you going to choose not to serve him? The choice is yours and yours alone to make. I'm reminded of Joshua as he told the nation of Israel in Joshua 24 and verse 15. He said this, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the floods, or the God of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So who are you going to choose tonight? Who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve the world, the flesh, and the devil? Or are you going to serve the God of self? Or are you going to serve the God up in heaven? I'm reminded of Acts 4 and verse number 12, where Peter said this, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So we see that if you're going to enlist in God's army, first of all, there's a choice that you're going to have to make. But then notice, secondly, tonight, if you're taking notes, there's a process to follow. A process to follow. After I made the choice to join the United States Air Force, there was a process that I had to follow to enlist. The first thing I had to do, number one, was get a physical. And you might not have guessed it looking at me now, but when I was 18, I was slim and I was fit. I was a fighting machine of 162 pounds. I had a flat stomach, I had big shoulders, and I had lots of hair back when I was 18. But now I have a dad's bod. I have little hair, and I weigh a whopping 235 pounds. So I go into this physical, along with a bunch of other men that were there, and I completed 10 push-ups. And believe me, I struggled to get 10 push-ups. At 8, I almost gave up and said, forget it. If I have to do any more than 8, then I'm not going to make it. But unbeknownst to me at the time, the Lord gave me the strength, because it was his will for me to join the United States Air Force, and I completed 10 push-ups. And then we had to do 20 sit-ups. Listen, I never did more than 10 sit-ups or 15 sit-ups in my life. Even in gym class, where those young bucks are going up and down, I'm like up and down. They're like on 3, I'm like on 1, they're on 6, I'm on 2, and they're on 20, and I'm like 5, done, you know. And so I never really did more than 20, but I managed to do 20. And I did 10 push-ups, 20 sit-ups. And then we had to go over to the weight and had to lift 50 pounds. And I didn't know if I could lift 50 pounds. I never lifted weights in my life. You might be able to tell that by now. But back in those days, I was slim and trim, and it looked like I was pretty healthy. But I didn't know if I could lift 50 pounds. But thanks to God, I was able to lift up the 50 pounds and hold it up there for a couple seconds. And that's what the Air Force required me to do. And so I completed that part of the physical. And then they had to bend over to the waist, had to touch the floor. Hey, listen, can you take your hands and touch, bend over and touch the floor? Listen, I can still do that. I might have to curl my fingers up a little bit, but I can still do that. I wonder, can you all still do that? Amen? Well, go home and try it. Not here, because I don't want to see you fall flat on your face, but go home and just see if you could do it. I was able to do that, and then we had to do a duck walk. And listen, I'm not just talking a little duck walk. I'm talking a long duck walk all the way down to the end of the room, all the way back down to the other end of the room. I guess they wanted to make sure that I was coordinated and my knees were still good. And at that time, thank God that they were. And after all that, Then the doctor finally came into where we were. And once the doctor came in, he poked and he prodded, he examined every crack, every crevice, every crater, along with some other places I didn't even know that I had in my body. And when that doctor was done, guess what? The bloodsuckers came in. And the bloodsuckers came in and took vials and vials and vials of blood for me for my testing. And then after that, we went to see the eye doctor. And I was kind of worried about that because I wore contacts at the time and I didn't really know what the requirement was. But really, they weren't testing to see if you could see, how well you could see. They really were testing for color blindness. And so I managed to pass that. There was one or two little areas that were a little shady for me. I couldn't particularly pick them out, but I still passed with like a 90%. Then I had a regular eye exam, and I thanked the Lord I passed that. And I was glad when that was all over. But you know that, even before that you enlist into God's army, God has already conducted a physical examination of you. He's conducted a physical examination, and he's conducted a spiritual examination. And guess what he's found? God has found you dirty. He's found you filthy. He's found you unclean. As a matter of fact, Isaiah 64 in verse number 6 says this, "But we are all unclean things, and our righteousness are as filthy rags." So he's found us dirty, filthy, and unclean. He's found us guilty of sin. Romans 3:23 says this, "For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God." The psalmist puts it this way, a little bit different. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 14. Psalm chapter number 14. Psalm chapter number 14. And let's look at verses 2 and verse number 3. Psalm should be somewhere around the middle of your Bible or so. Psalm chapter 14, verses 2 and verse number 3. The Bible said in Psalm 14, verses 2 and 3, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God." Notice what it says. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. You see, because of the sin, we need a cleansing. And David, the psalmist David, said in Psalm 51 in verses 2 and 3, he says, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me." Understand this evening that God desires to cleanse you from your sin. Isaiah 1 and verse number 18, we find these wonderful words. "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." James puts it this way in James 4 and verse number 8. "Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded." And even though God desires you to be clean, it's still a choice that every individual has to make. I think the first thing that I had to do to enlist was to get a physical. I get a physical from the Air Force. But then God gives me a spiritual physical as well. But the second thing I had to do was sign the contract. Sign the contract. A contract is an agreement between two or more people, especially one that is written and enforceable by law. After I passed my physical, they took me to a room to sign the contract. And I went in there and looked at the contract. I signed my name on the dotted line. And then literally, if you men could remember, I had the initial 20 or 30 different times. They told me what it was. I didn't really know what I was. I'm just initial. If you ever bought a house before, how many times do you have to sign your name? And then you have to initial. I'm like, I trust you. Just tell me. They try to they tried to explain this. I said, no, I'm just signing. I believe me, I trust you. You're a lawyer. I'll sue you if you mess up, amen. And so 20 or 30 different times, they told me to sign, and I signed on. I signed the contract. I initialed that contract. And after it was done, guess what? I raised my right hand, and I enlisted in the United States Air Force. And when I signed and initialed that contract, I was literally guaranteeing the United States Air Force this, that I'd be willing to work for them for 4 years. And I was under penalty of law. If I did not fulfill my contract, guess what? If I broke that contract, they could throw me in the brig, not the little regional jail we have here, but in a military prison. And I don't know about you, but I don't relish the fact of going to any prison, let alone a military prison. Did you know that God has a contract for us to enlist in His army as well? But get this, you don't have to sign your name one time. You don't have to initial 20 or 30 different times. Does anybody know why? I'll tell you why. No, it's not because God has an auto pen like our last president had. The contract has been signed by the blood, by the guarantor of the contract. And guess who the guarantor of the contract was? If you're going to enlist in God's army, it's Jesus Christ. He signed His name in blood. He's the guarantor of the contract. And Romans 5 and 9, Paul writes these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. He says, much more than being justified by His blood, by Christ's blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. Paul in Ephesians 1 and verse 7 says this, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Listen, we don't have to sign the contract. We don't have to initial the contract because Jesus Christ signed that contract, paid for that contract by His blood for us on the cross of Calvary. There is something that we must do to obtain this contract. You say, well, I thought we didn't have to sign anything. No, you don't. I said, I thought you said, Pastor, we don't have to initial anything. No, you do not, but you do have to do this. Number one, you have to admit your sinfulness. And that's really not hard to do. We can look at our lives day in and day out, and shame to say, sometimes hour by hour, sometimes half hour by half hour, quarter hour by quarter hour, and we can realize that, listen, we live a sinful life. Some of the sins are commission that we purposely do. Some of the sins are by omission, things that God desires for us to do, yet we do not do. So we admit our sinfulness. Then we believe, secondly, that Jesus Christ has paid for the contract by His shed blood on the cross of Calvary. And then thirdly, we confess our sins to Him. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So as we close tonight, I want you to think about this. If you want to enlist in God's army, there's a choice to make for life. There's also a process to follow. You got to get a physical. God has already done that in our lives, and it doesn't look good. We find that we are sinners, and we need to be saved. And then secondly, sign a contract. But the good news is simply this. Now, God has already paid for that contract with His own Son's blood, and all you have to do is just receive it by faith. So let me ask you for one last time tonight, are you ready to enlist in the Lord's army? I hope and pray that you're ready to do so if you have not done so as yet. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,